Big CR, better known as the Culture Radio. And I am talking to you over the big eye, not just in the sky, but across the whole world. That's the internet. So, I don't know if it's an intro, but whatever it is, I'm in it. So, not so much to win it, but to use it. To use it to inform. As I said, you find on my site, I said knowledge is useless if it cannot be communicated. So, I not only have studied a lot of things, but I keep studying, and I keep finding more interesting things. And in case nobody's figured it out, I love talking. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. 2 weeks ago, I was working on education. And again, all this ties into economics, whatever way you want to pronounce it. These are the natural laws that drive us, the impulses that make us do things. In fact, I once worked one of my corporate gigs running a tax department at a company that had all kinds of investments. They invested in a guy whose company, his main company, was called Hot Sam's. Sounds like a cute, kitschy name. But the guy at the time was probably in his 70s, and he had a better feel for the pulse of people and what they do and what stimulates them, what moves them, what gets them to do things. And at the time, he made his fortune when the world was starting to go out and shop at these little strip malls, and it was starting to build these shopping malls. And man, the guy knew one thing. Humans like food. They need food. That's the fuel that keeps us moving. And, you know, when you're shopping around, you can't always, and even if you look at it now, big malls have restaurants. They are places where you go. But snacks. We are the snack nation of the world, I think. It's not that we invented snacks, but, you know, we don't pack hardtack when we go to the thing. We're not going to Alaska. But man, if you give us a bag of chips, a couple of pretzels or something, well, Hot Sam's was the name of the company he formed because he decided one of the most interesting snack foods in America was the pretzel, those big, warm, salty pretzels that people like eating. You could throw mustard on it, cut them open, put stuff in them, but basically just give me a warm pretzel to hold and eat while I'm walking around. And in fact, it was because of people like him who put these little pretzel stands in the middle of the mall. They decided to build the food courts because the cleanup costs of people walking around with these snacks and dropping, you know, bits of salt and the rest of the stuff all over the floor made it more expensive to maintain the mall. So for sanitary and cost reasons, Hot Sam's really founded something. The man was ahead of his time. When I went in his office and got to meet him, he had some of the most modern chairs that anybody could have ever had. We haven't even gotten to the level he was at. You'd think he was staging a scene for the Space Odyssey 2001. And the man collected art. He had a great eye for modern art from new painters, and he made a ton of money doing that. This was a man who grew up on the streets and understood how people think and what fuels us, what keeps us going. So that's why I was talking about education. As I've said to you, a couple of really basic things that we have to understand. Economics, it is there, we live with it, and we're going to bite the cost of living, whether we like it or not, or whether we recognize it or not. As I said, a real basic understanding that I tried to get everybody who listens to me, and believe me, I keep getting things from when I started this podcast, oh, for $15 or $50 will boost you, you'll get more people. You know what? I don't care if it's 50 or 100 or 500 people who listen to me. I don't mind growing, but I would love it if you, and I know, I don't know what the proper term is, but forward, you know, this to your friends, tell them. Listen to this guy. He's a little crazy, a little interesting, but If you're bored and have nothing to do and you've watched every other serial out on TV and you've maxed out on your shows till they put the next episode out, please tell your friends to listen. I'm not selling anything. I'm just high on life. I've been that way since I was a kid. And I want everybody else to enjoy life and not let the bad folks distract us from that. And understand that we have so much more power. That's where I'm going to with all of this. As I said, no business pays any taxes. In economic terms, when we buy a good or a service, every cost that that business is going to have is in the price that they charge us. And the reason I'm trying to get everybody to understand this, because once they account for all of their costs, they then have to put in a profit. Otherwise, you can't stay in business. So let's get past this crap that businesses pay taxes. Businesses don't pay anything. If they're successful, it's defined by making sure they put every cost they have into the product, be it a good or a service that we buy. So you know what? We the people. I love to quote we the people. We pay for everything one way or another. And message to the millionaires and billionaires, which I love our free enterprise system. They asked somebody the other day who decided he was jumping in a bandwagon and going to also run for the Democratic presidency. A lot of them. And he was almost ashamed to call himself a capitalist. You know what? He wasn't wrong. He's a free enterpriser. He has started businesses. He's been a governor and he's been successful at both. You know, not just the clown who borrows from other people and then doesn't pay it back and walks away with his nice stuff, but leaves the debt for us to cover. Because again, if you've heard me before, as I've said, everything that goes into the cost of the goods or services, we end up paying. So when a man like this interloper is the only proper term, look it up in a dictionary. It means someone who is not legally there. And we can go into that another time. I've discussed it before. Our president is not our president. He is an interloper. And he called himself like the king of debt. He understands debt. He must understand it. He's brought it with him. He's added trillions to our deficit. The trade imbalance that he talked about that he hated, it's gotten bigger than under anyone else. But he likes to lie about the size of his inauguration crowds and the size of his hand because he's too immature to worry about the image of what people think of him. I don't give a damn if you like what I look like naked or not. I am interested in your listening to me and learning. So when he grows up, maybe, who knows, maybe he'll be useful. But right now, all he does is add to the debt we have. And he added to his livelihood by not paying people back, by borrowing from banks. That's why when you hear about it, the banks in the U.S. finally got tired of lending them money. But it was our money they were lending. That's what they're in the business of doing. They collect all of our money that we stick in the banks for our checking accounts and our savings accounts. Because we no longer hide it in a tin can or below the mattress. We feel it's safer. It can't get stolen. Well, in the meantime, you get guys like him who go in there, take a loan, and then declare bankruptcy. Now, there are real bankruptcies where people have put their blood and sweat and try to start something. But then there are people who recognize that they could use other people's money, as Trump kept referring to it, so that he's never worried about losing his. That money came out of the banks that were holding ours. So the banks add a little extra fee that you don't even recognize the next time you borrow a car, the next time you get a mortgage on your house, or an equity loan, or whatever. The little percentage they charge you for handling a CD or something. That goes up because they would go out of business if they can't replace the money he borrowed, never intending to pay it back. We end up paying it back. The more and more you understand where the real power, financial power exists, is us. And believe me, I would love to be a millionaire or a billionaire. There's nothing wrong with that. But I would love to say I pay more taxes than anybody because I made more money than anybody. I don't need to defer it. I know what the taxes do. The taxes is our way of supporting our government, the roads we use, the schools we have, everything else. Who do you think pays for it? Money does not grow on trees. But the same millionaires and billionaires, how about this? Let's write a quick science fantasy novel. Millionaires and billionaires decide they can make more company by getting rid of all their employees and ordering robotic machines that answer the phones, build their things, sew shirts, whatever. So they one day fire everybody. Okay, so they're going to make a gigantic profit because they're paying no more taxes on payroll or anything else. They don't have to worry about an HR department. They get rid of every human being except for the chairman of the board because he now has some buttons and he can talk into a sophisticated system that was built. And he's got robots doing everything. But guess what? All the other brilliant people like him did the same thing. So what did they do? They made people useless. They don't really need us to make money. Guess what? In that simple scenario, everybody's out of work. We can't find a job because everybody's using robots. So what's going to happen? We're not going to have any money. We're not going to be able to buy the goods or services that they want to sell. They're going to suddenly find out that their investment and their millions and billions of ownership is worthless because there's no market. Robots don't go out and buy goods and services. Anyway, put that in the back of your head. Maybe we can make a big disaster movie where every CEO agrees, yeah, we're all going robotic at the same time. We'll show the world. Stupid. If you don't have people working, as I did one podcast on feudalism. It's an old thing that still exists, just not easily identified if you don't know what you're looking at, where the lord owns the manor and he does you a favor and lets you live on it as long as you till the soil and give him the grain and, you know, God knows he could borrow your wife if he wants to also. Not where it's happening. Humanity is growing. We know more, we talk to each other, we speak out. What we need to do is what has bothered me because I don't surf and go all over. I love research, I love finding things. And we now have these almost unlimited resources through the internet. All it is understanding how to ask a question so you don't have to go through millions of things that pop up. We can discuss that separately someday. Queries are important to save you time when you're looking for an answer. The answer for us is what's wrong with having a society where we actually get along with each other. And you know what? If I had neighbors I didn't get along with, long as they didn't force me to sit down in their house and eat with them, I don't mind. There's an old saying about live and let live. They do their part, I'll do my part. They have a right to live. They want to wear ugly shirts or something. I wear a t-shirt most of the time I come in here, something simple. I never believed in, even if I buy somebody's product, that I should be advertising their stuff by wearing their label on my butt or something. So even my kids, when they were growing up, you know, they wanted, hey, these were in Vogue and blah, blah. I said, that's nice. When you're paying for it, you could buy them. I said, when I'm paying for it, we're going to get you basic jeans. They also have a label on it, but not as dramatic where somebody wants you to advertise their name. So you'll see things. This is a t-shirt I got. And, you know, I like colors. I like dressing nicely. I also like being casual. And it says on it, American Iron. Okay, simple statement, but I will try, and I hope you get to see it when I turn around. I have to sit low so it gets in the camera. American Iron harkens back to the time in my youth, let's call it, where the American companies, the major auto manufacturers, which were Ford, GM, and Chrysler, they put out these cars that we were proud to street race and do everything else with. Look, street racing gets dangerous. I'm not advocating it. But you know what? Taking pride in a nice car and taking care of it, understanding how it moves, the science of it, to design them, to make them perform better. That's what we were all about. The American population, from all the immigrants who came here, the idea was we innovated. Think about that. What happened, the Industrial Revolution, hundreds of years ago, started in the United Kingdom. Good country, good people. But then they failed to modernize as new and better equipment came out. I have worked in industries like broadcasting, where the three major networks in the old days, ABC, NBC, and CBS, each of them felt to stay on top of it, they had to be at the bleeding edge. So because I worked in their tax departments usually, I helped them get rid of old equipment in the best way possible by donating it to people who could use it and getting the best write-off when you understand the economics of our tax laws. But they always had to have the newest and the best. That thing in marketing is where you get the phone companies and the cell phones dealing with you where they want to put a new case on it. The screen is a half an inch better. The camera's a little faster. We don't always need the best and the newest, but we as a country produced these things. We didn't go to other places to make it for us. And then when we took it there so that we had a lower cost, then we come back here and sell it as though it were produced here at the price that you would pay in America had it been produced here. And we offshore the profits, we're ripping ourselves off, okay? Now, I want the rest of the world to come up and join us in economic prosperity. However, at the same time, we do this by staying at the leading edge of technology, by Americans going out there and innovating, by looking at a product that we use right now. It could be a pot, a pan, a light bulb, and saying, wait a minute, this has been around for a long time. I look at it, I think we could do a better version, okay? It's the innovation that moves us forward as human beings. And it's that innovative spirit of our young country compared to the rest of the world, because even though some of the new countries that are coming on and growing modern, they've been around for thousands of years. They have old customs and things, so they're kind of a mix. We don't have this mixed heritage that we've been 1,000 years ago. We used to use a rope and, you know, shoot arrow. Yeah, we have natives that did some of that. But basically, the American spirit is to move on and make something that's better. Give the world something new. Improve something that we use. All of this innovation gets back to my favorite subject. The most important resource are our children. And that includes the whole planet. Because we don't know which one of them, when properly developed, will come up with something new. Something that will keep our lives better. Something that will make us live longer. Something that will get rid of pain or disease. We're never going to be free of everything. There'll always be something that comes up. But we want to do it in a way so that we all share in it. Some people who started it and risked capital, they deserve to make more. Absolutely. But you know what? Americans aren't capitalists, nor are they socialists. They are free enterprise people. They come here because it's like a runner who gets on a track and he's out there to push himself, to test himself. When he gets in a race, yes, he's racing against people. But when we try and push ourselves athletically or mentally, we go out there and we have to prod ourselves and say, I want to do better. I want to run faster. I want to think harder. I want to do some research. I think I can improve on this thing, or I can do something that's better than it. Otherwise, we'd still be riding on horses and driving buggies. So let's understand what America represents. It represents the spirit of free enterprise. Do not go with labels. A capitalist, you can say, is a banker. Someone who holds capital that we gave them for safekeeping and loans it out, so he makes money. That's how he makes it, or she, whoever's running the banking organization. So they provide capital if we need it. What do they call the people who put money into new businesses? They call them venture capitalists. their capitalist who is going to venture on some new product where they feel they're going to take a limited risk or an excessive risk, depending on how good they think this is, based on their understanding, and get a great return. So you know what? Somebody who runs our government is not a capitalist. Somebody who works in our companies, they're not capitalists. They're Americans earning a living, helping us do business and move forward, and maybe showing the world that people could live freely and openly, have votes, have a representative government. And you know what? When you talk about regulation, you get these people who come out there and they say, we've got too much regulation. Again, remember, we pay every cost. So these people who tell you we have too much regulation, they want to just say, I don't need anybody blocking me from doing what I want, no matter how stupid it is. Regulation. If we had no regulation, we'd have no traffic lights. That's what they do. They regulate who gets to cross an intersection. I've driven in countries that have good populations and a lot of cars, and they had no traffic lights at one point. And it was like going mano a mano, where everybody was seeing who was going to get across that street. So you want to talk about a rush hour? It was ugliness in a beautiful climate in a beautiful country. And I won't mention it because it can happen any place. But a traffic light says, you know what? We live in a society where as long as you participate and follow the rules, and we're not saying rules that hold you down, rules that allow us to move forward. If we have an intersection with a traffic light, we say, okay, this is a main road, so we'll give it 30 seconds. We have a secondary road, we'll give it 15 seconds, whatever. And they have to revisit it and balance it as the traffic and the growth of that city changes. That's what we're all about. We are neither capitalists nor socialists. We are people who want to live free, express ourselves, and dream and fulfill those dreams as much as we can. So when somebody goes out, and I've watched even the best reporters sometimes, as I said, they were hounding this guy who just threw his hat in a ring. Well, would you call yourself a capitalist? Not unless he's been just investing his own money and maybe in other people's ventures. He's been a successful American who started businesses and ran as a politician and ran a state and did other things. That's what determines when you see what a person can do. You might want to throw somebody new in the mix, but you would do well to look at their background. As our president, anybody who really looked at what he did in business would know he always bragged that he uses other people's money. Who are the other people? That's us. And then he didn't pay it back. He declared bankruptcy. Why should he pay it back? It wasn't his money. And when you hear him tell you he's got a great mind and he pays no taxes, well, that means he's using everything that we pay for. He goes around telling everybody to pay their fair share. Where is his fair share? In his pocket? I served my country. I'm 4 years older than the president, plus or minus a month or two, maybe. I didn't waver when it came time to register for the draft. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about getting a letter. I signed up and volunteered when they had the draft, say, take me now. That meant I could get that commitment done. My country deserved at least 2 years out of me. And I did well on every test they gave. I could have gone to any school they had. So all I'm saying to you is there is no place, and I've been many places on this planet, and I love the places I've been. One-on-one, I find people in every country to be great. They're human beings. When they get together, they have to act differently because they've got the country they grew up in and what they feel like stand for right now as a country. Not always the best answer. But one-on-one, believe me, when you're out there, people are good, generally speaking. I will try and turn around and let you see the back of my T-shirt, as I said. So you'll see, if you can see, there's a Ford Mustang on there, a Chevy Camaro, and a B-body from Chrysler, which is either a Plymouth or a a Dodge, but the B-Body was their more famous racing model in their mid to full-size cars. Anyway, so it intrigued me because I loved the American spirit of putting it out there and, you know, yeah, okay. Strong horsepower. I grew up in a city, New York, where there were certain parts of the city you knew at night there were people out there street racing. Some of them killing themselves. Not the best place. So we're back to our main resource. Humans. The children that we have, they're all our children. Because at some point, they're either going to be in jail and we're going to pay a lot of money for it, or they're going to be productive in running the country when we're too old and we stop running it. Don't we want to be able to sit in the house, barbecue if we want to, lie in a pool, go on a cruise, take a flight? The only way you could do that is if you've invested in our country through your life and your work. You want to know that somebody's going to take care of that investment so that you can relax, take it easy, go about your business, and know that America is going to still be pushing forward. Because that's what we do in America. We push forward. Okay? We innovate. And that comes from anybody, any color, any religion, any anything. People come here from different cultures, and I have watched it throughout my life. I grew up in New York City. I went to a high school that was competitive but public, that was technical. And we had people from every gang as well as from every culture and every religion. I was happy to say they were my classmates, because I knew they were there because they had a brain and we were developing it and we were going to benefit from it. So, education, 2 weeks ago when I started on it, I tried to get across these basic facts. We keep playing with education. People do it differently. And I live in a state in Florida where they like to run lotteries, and lotteries became big because they knew people gamble. So if people spend a dollar or two, and he can win millions. In the meantime, they get billions together. It's just another way of reaching into our pocket to pay for what we should be paying for, which is education. We have to look to see that education makes sense, that we're educating people, they're getting a good education, and a standardized education. In the last 10 years, I've seen where people have taken over book companies. People who are, and don't get me wrong, I don't care if you're conservative, progressive, tell me you're an American. Tell me you have our best interest at heart. I don't care if you register as a Democrat or Republican. As I've said before, registration just allows you under our system to vote earlier for someone who may be there at the end when you vote. And I tell you, please, if I meet you and you tell me that you don't like what's going on, and the first question I will ask you is, did you vote? Because we own this country. And as I've said, I've calculated it. We each have, whether we're a millionaire, billionaire, pauper, it doesn't matter. We each have one share of America. One share. And it's equal to the same thing that Mr. Bloomberg holds or Mr. Trump holds. That one share is worth a little under $200,000 right now. You didn't know you had a share of stock in something. Well, you do. It's called our country, America. The way you keep that country going is by doing things that make sense for all of us. Holding people accountable, okay? These companies, when you think about it, you hear about all these PACs and arrests. And believe me, I spent a ton of time in Washington in my life. I spent a ton of time with other governments in the work I did. So I got to understand all of this. So I'm not just spouting what I think is maybe. This is. So when you find out that somebody, some million, multimillionaire or billionaire is making these great donations into these PACs where they have no limits to back a candidate who they feel will give them what they want. Let's look at what they want. We grew up by using technology as it evolved. I worked for a company that grew out of Thomas Edison's original operations when he put out power plants. Back then, they said, hey, we're going to have electricity and light. We can now work at night. We could see where we're going, not trip on a curb. That was progress for humanity. We didn't have to hide in the cave because we couldn't go outside because we could get attacked and we wouldn't know what was going to happen. So the lighting up, the use of energy, freed us to go further and do more things. Every step takes us further. The energy, when they did it, they weren't interested in, is this polluting anything? They didn't think about that at the time. Way back then, they didn't put water in plastic bottles. You took a bucket, you went to the river, you got your water, and you drank it. Now, we actually filter it, treat it, try and keep it so we don't have epidemics. We, the people, pay for the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, under them a whole bunch of agencies. Why do we do that? Because we want to keep healthy. If we're going to invest in ourselves and our country, we want to have people who make sure that we check things out, that nobody sells us snake oil. When people come along and they say, well, too many regulations. Let me give you an example. The early power plants were basically coal-fired. Yeah, we made some power from steam with straw. People can correct me. I got it. There were steam engines that were around, and that was burn anything, heat up water, and take the steam. It was brilliant. Humans figuring out how to harness fire into smoke, into steam, into energy. All that went into that when nothing was there before. That leap that comes on the first person, there was no one who studied this. It was, again, someone who had this unique perspective to look out there at the air and say, you know what? What if X, Y, and Z? Could I do that? Oh, okay, that might kill me. What if I did that? Till they finally worked on it and got something that made sense. Later, we found out that they were building up, getting more energy, building more plants, especially coal, because it was plentiful at the time. We didn't know about uranium and nuclear power. So we started coal and then oil and the rest of it. Well, you know, to a certain extent, when you burn anything, there's always some stuff coming off of that flame. The combustion has byproducts. Company I also worked for built some of the most modern, what's called cogeneration plants. We recognized technically that, hey, you're burning all this stuff, you got a lot of waste heat that's being lost. That heat can drive another generator and make more power from the original energy. You don't even need more, you need something to capture it. That's what cogeneration is about. And we've looked at, you know, in modern days, you'll hear about thermal, where they have these, like in Yellowstone, where they have geysers, or you've got these pits that the magma in the middle of the planet heats up things, and you get steam coming out of it. We look to harness, but we look to harness in a way that makes sense. We cannot overnight change ourselves to clean energy. So we have to look at things, and believe me, I've spent 40, 50 years of my life looking at different things. I love science, and even though I didn't go for scientific degrees, just like a lot of my heroes in history, there was nobody before them who came up with what they did. Galileo via the telescope, Enrico Fermi, Albert Einstein, the things they imagined that nobody taught them about. And this is what we want. We want to stimulate thought. So we're back to education. The more minds we educate that we don't waste, the better we'll do. Let me quickly say, because I don't always take enough breaks, and as I said, I don't care how many people are following me, but I'd love it if you tell people about it. I decided to go with the Culture Radio because it was simple for me. It's local. I like taking care of my local economy and working with people that I appreciate. So beside me reminding you that you could find me on Instagram at AE, the word equals, and then MC squared. And then on Facebook, as I said, dear old Albert is dead, so he didn't mind. I borrowed E equals MC squared, and I put my A in front of it. He and I shared the same initials. So I made it AE, this is on Facebook, AE, the equal sign, MC, that little caret symbol, and then a 2. Stands for Alan Epstein equals more clarity. I'm going to give you enough clarity that you'd hate me if you keep listening. And that's what I want you to do. Think about what I'm saying. But tell me what you want me to talk about, and I'll talk about it. Anyway, on email, you can get me at AE, the word equals, then the letters MC, and then SQ at gmail.com. The Culture Radio, where I joined, a little organization, that's what America is all about. Somebody goes in their garage and the rest of it. I keep telling people that I used to, the reason I moved to Florida was I didn't want my kids to move home. You know, kids move home, you let them live in your basement. In Florida, it's almost rare that you find the basement. The sandy soil, most things are built on slabs, except for apartment buildings and stuff like that. So the building technique is different because of our soil that we have here. So everybody left. They said, put them in a basement. We don't have any basement. I said, that's the point. My kids can't come home. They either have to succeed and push themselves or not. And I'm proud. And they've been children that I've helped because I believe in the next generation and the next generation. We have an obligation to ourselves, selfishly, to make sure they're educated. And I have helped people that I've met along the way. Doesn't mean I love them or hate them. Some of them I've loved to death. But I gladly intervene if I can and make sure they go in the right direction. So I wanted to also mention during this kind of break that I now and then take that when you listen to me on the Culture Radio, there are other things. I wish I could read this. I guess I'm not good at this. But they have a ton of shows on the Culture Radio. And I don't know if these are it. Oh, these are other stations that I'm on. Wow, I didn't even know that. There's some people who needed to fill their time, I guess, and were willing to even throw my signal on there. But on Stitcher. I'm not even pronouncing the word that's in front of me. I'm so used to looking at the internet with all the letters bundled together. When I grew up, every word had a space in it. So I had to get myself used to where do I break up what I'm looking at. So Stitcher, Spotify, I do recognize that one. iTunes, I didn't know that I was a tune. But then again, a tune spelled differently is a character. So call me a human animation. And then Google Play. So I guess there are people out there who need some content.
And Culture Play.
And the Culture Radio?
Culture Play.
Oh, Culture Play. Okay. I lose track. This is I used to explain to people when technology was coming along because I do understand how the process and the things work and what we could do with it. And when I ran, let's say, tax departments or financial operations, I recognized that if I had a lawyer I hired to work in my department, I'm paying them a salary because of a law degree and knowledge that they've built up. So if I have them sitting at a desk and they have to take a worksheet and correct some numbers and use an adding machine to fix them, that to me was not too productive because I'm also trained as an accountant. Accountants do that. Clerks do that. So how you use your resources. So I was an early proponent of anything that made sense. I didn't take every piece of technology, but when they came out in the old days, way before you guys were born or maybe hearing me, before there was an Excel, there was a Lotus. Lotus was some person who came out and said, hey, somebody might want a program that could do a worksheet. And boy, in the old days, everybody would say, well, wait, if I push that button, my cursor is going to fall off the page. They thought it was going to come off the screen and end up on the floor. I laughed because I knew nobody's going to write a program that your cursor is going to fall out of your monitor. It's got to go somewhere. Usually it wrapped around and came back up to the top. But they were afraid that if they pressed that button, that's the way humans are. They like touchy-feely. There are some of us who deal with intangibles. That's part of the way I think. So anyway, education. Every child we have is important. We don't know which one is going to come up with something that's going to help us stay at the leading edge of technology or culture or health. All of these are important. regulation. As I said, traffic lights are regulation. Parking spaces are regulation. Cut curbs are regulation. You can't just go up on the sidewalk and leave your car there. Without it, we'd have a lot more arguments and things happening and a lot more confrontation. Let's cut back to our federal government, where they've passed things. We've used coal for many, many generations, and we still do. We try and put scrubbers. The company I worked for, built some coal-fired plants, but they become expensive. They filter everything that comes off the plant. That's not the easiest way to deal with coal. I have some ideas that go beyond that. Anybody out there who works in the energy business and has tons of money, I don't. Talk to me. I figured out a way to beat the problem with coal and environmental pollution. And it's not just coal. It's coal, oil, any feedstock. I put a lot of years into this thought, and I hate to say it, I'm not too stupid. I can come up with workarounds that make sense, and I decide where do I spend my time thinking of what would give us the best return. As I said, we cannot overnight shut down every polluting plant and replace it with wind and water and whatever. We could all stand outside and everybody spend an hour a day blowing at a windmill, and maybe we'll generate some energy from our own hot air. There are better answers. That's what we are about. We are innovators. We are not capitalists. We are not socialists. We are free enterprise innovators. And that includes whether we go out there and we make a new hot dog, a new bun to hold it on, a better way of processing it so people can come in and guess what? They don't have to wait forever to get a hamburger. We innovate. We make things more practical. We make things more functional. And we benefit from it. And that comes in everything. The guy who made that little spray top for a can so that we can get the stuff out of the can easier. The guy who made the click on a pen. Those are inventions, innovations, that the whole population of the world benefited from. So there are things that happen all the time. We just have to put our mind to it. The design of an airplane, the wing, the angle of it, the flaps, all of this. So coal-fired plants, what did we do? Out of the 50-some-odd states, we have 35 states right now who have these residuals, because when you burn coal, you get this ash. It's a residual. And they made regulations. God forbid, because we pay for everything anyway. They made regulations where they could store this ash in a pond. You want to make sure it's moist, because if it would be there dry, as the winds came through, they would be blowing the ash, it would go in the air, it would make people sick. You would be ingesting the same thing that if you took an ashtray and you had the ashes in it, or a fireplace, would you put your head in there and suck in that ash and think you're doing something good for your health? So we had these retention ponds that were built for, because this is not radioactive, but it still is dangerous for breathing. So we had these ponds that we built near the plants, because we don't want to add a lot of transportation costs. We took a piece of land that wasn't in anybody's way, and we put the ash from the coal plants in there. Well, we have 35 states where now the too many regulations, we've gotten rid of the control of this, and guess what? They're starting to leach into our rivers and waterways. So be prepared to be eating ashes. Be prepared that it won't be just Flint, Michigan, who's going to have water that you can't drink or bathe in. Hey, maybe if we got it in our water, we'd just be exfoliating ourselves and they tell us that it's good for us. Believe me, it isn't. So, education. I talked about education, how we do it. Charter schools are going. Charter schools, and I spoke 2 weeks ago about a client I had who wanted to know. He never wants to pay taxes. He started a few charter schools. Charter schools where they use the vouchers. You know what? I don't care what school you want to use, as long as they get reviewed and they teach properly and they get rated, and our kids are not having their time wasted by being there, and somebody's making money, but our kids are losing education. We suffer when that happens. So in Florida alone, we had, by 2015, 2016, close to 700 charter schools. I know now, I think it's in the thousands. I saw a number somewhere, but I couldn't confirm it yet. But you know what? As long as they properly educate our children, meaning we need standards. You know, standards are rules and regulations. You know, if you're going to graduate a kid from one grade to the next grade, he's got to take a test and prove that he learned something. If he didn't learn something, we can't use him. And we wasted our money. It's our money that pays for all of this. Let nobody tell you otherwise. So when you, again, back to where I go off on tangents. If you listen to me, you'll see it all the time. I don't forget the different little threads I throw out there. When those millionaires and billionaires pay money into a PAC because there's some case that said, oh, a corporation has a voice, so they could put millions of dollars in. Where did they get that money? From their business. What did I explain to you? No business pays any taxes. Beside that, no business pays any expenses. They put every expense into the product, be it a product or a service that we buy. They can't stay in business if they don't cover their expenses. But when they load enough in there and they pull millions out of it where they can make contributions to get somebody to do what they want rather than what benefits us, guess what? We are the fools who paid for it. We have labels on food that'll tell us how much sodium, how much salt, how much this. You know what? Regulation is good and bad. If it's onerous and keeps us from living and moving, I get it. However, I'll be back. I got a comment that's cute. And I just, when I give examples, it doesn't mean that any one of them is a be-all and end-all. Life is a complex interaction. I once mentioned that one of my favorite economists was a guy named Doctor. He's a doctorate. I guess he has his PhD. Henry Kaufman. Look him up. I think he's still alive, late 80s or 90s. And he grew up, I don't believe in a wealthy family, but that doesn't matter. I have seen people who come from the wealthiest families, and they were dedicated to public service. It was one of the DuPont children that I remember reading an article about 40, 50 years ago that said, no, I want to be in hematology. If you're part of a family that has billions of dollars of power and you want to be a doctor, are they going to say, we got enough family running the business. Go ahead, be a doctor. Well, when he became a doctor, they could build a laboratory for him. They could build a hospital for him if he wanted equipment. And you know what? They weren't going to give him equipment if he wasn't capable of using it. No matter what schools they may have paid to get in, this guy was serious. And so when you get someone like that, John F. Kennedy, I remember his father once in an interview said, he knows he's got my millions in a trust fund. Doesn't mean he listens to me. He believes in public service. He was a womanizer, among other things, but you know what? He didn't shortchange us when it came to caring about what we needed and what gets done. So, education. I also got something in. This was a comment came in on which? Instagram or? Oh, a text. I got a text. Said maybe it is the agenda. Control the water and control the population. We look for simple answers. The water system in the United States is so extensive, okay? And I've dealt with water, among other things. Being who I am, I wanted to know about everything. I'm one of these crazy people that I know if you study everything, you don't get to do much. So, but I wanted to know about key things. So definitely water. I have studied. I've worked with people who are experts. As I said, one company I worked for, we built nuclear power plants. You don't run a nuclear power plant without enough water to control the reaction in your reactor, okay? There's a cute term, and it's short, and I always laughed. I did study Spanish. I'm not good at any language, I guess, but I've dabbled. and it's called loss of cooling activity. For short, loca, which would mean crazy in Spanish, I think, roughly speaking. So loss of cooling activity. So when you built the nuclear power plant, you had to have a water source. And believe me, I've seen this where our scientists, not just engineers, went and worked with governments to help study where they could site a plant because you needed enough water. But you know what? You can't put it next to an ocean where you have waves coming at the plant because that's water coming in and out in such volume that it's disruptive and it may not keep your pipes full to dampen the nuclear activity in your plant when you have to. So what they did was they built what's called cooling ponds. They impounded enough water so they knew that even if there was a drought, they've got water to keep that plant functioning right. This is advances in science. How do you control nuclear reactions so the public can get something out of it? So water, control of water, it's been argued. You look at California, there have been lawsuits for the last 100 years easily with the use of water from different rivers as the LA Basin, which it was sort of a basin, grew and the population expanded. They were talking about water coming out of the mountains, the Sierras and the rest of that, Sierra Madres and the other mountains, the Rocky Mountains, because a lot of the water comes as runoff from the snow when it melts in the pack, besides just the rain and the dams. We've learned to impound water because we say we need it. And if we sit there like idiots from 2,000 years ago, and they learned 2,000 years ago, that when water came down, if it ran off, you didn't have any tomorrow if it's not raining. So I believe it was in either Thailand or somewhere over in that area. There's a famous old city from thousands of years ago that they had a desert called Angkor. They had to desert it because the water stopped flowing there for whatever reason. Water is an important resource. It comes from a lot of different areas within our country. How we use it, how we value it, and I've looked at that too. I believe that we have, when I get a chance and somebody wants to really listen, and I'm not joking about it, that we have ways of using water better. So when a drought happens, nobody in their home would ever have a problem with water. Let's use the technology that we've paid for and let's focus it on things that benefit us. And that happens by voting. Anybody who doesn't get out and vote is giving up their right to talk about anything, as far as I'm concerned. So, that's why I was proud of my country when I said 2018 is not an off-year election. We're electing everybody in the House of Representatives. We're electing 400-some-odd people beside who else was running. Why do we call that an off-year election? To me, 2016 was an off-year election when too many people sat home and decided, oh, Hillary's going to win. I don't have to go out and vote. And we got a jerk. Anyway, so we can't control the water and control the population. That's not going to happen. And you know what? You'd start the next American Revolution. We don't stand for people trying to control us and tell us what to do. But we have to also work together so that things happen. Now, when it comes to education, I started to tell people 2 weeks ago that it costs, and these were figures from various major states like California, it costs about, when they did the study a few years ago, about $9,000 a year to educate a kid, K to 12. At the same time, kids who don't stay in school and go out, the average cost of them ending up in prison was $62,000 a year. You're talking about 7 times the number. So let me be silly. Forget about whether people say free education or not, because I'm going to tell you, whether it's Bernie or AOC or Donald Trump, nothing's free. We pay for it. But I like to pay for things that benefit me. I understand that if I educate the population, I'm going to get a return on that. There are many different studies on many different things that prove that. So let's say we decided that instead of spending $62,000 a year for a kid who may drop out of public school, end up in a prison, 10 years, that's $500,000 you're spending extra above what it would cost to keep them in school. But you know what? Humans love incentives. They love prizes. That's why they buy lottery tickets. That's why they bet with bookies and stuff. And that's why we like games. So let's look at it like this. Since it costs us 1/7 to keep a kid in school every year, I'm going to give you an outline. This is not an answer, but it's an outline. Let's say if I told every student in America, because they're all our children, as I said, that no matter who you are, no matter which high school you go to, we are going to put $10,000 in a bank for you that you'll get when you graduate. When you finish the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th year, we'll open that account. Every year you finish, we put $1,000 in that account. So you know, God forbid, if you don't finish high school, you're going to have some money in that account. You're going to get $2,000 if you finish half of high school. Okay. You finish all 4 years, we put $4,000 in there, $1,000 a year. Now, we didn't hand them the money so they can go off and spend it when they're too young and not think about what they're buying. We're telling them that we are betting on them that if they finish high school, we add an extra $6,000. So at the end of high school, when they get their high school diploma, you hand them their little bank account. Imagine if every kid in the country graduated with $10,000. Now, some of them may go on a big vacation, have nothing a week later. Some of them may say, hey, I wanted to start a hot dog stand, or I wanted to do this, or I could do this and my family business will be better off. Think about it. If you told every student in America that they will have at the end of high school $10,000 that they get handed. Think about it. We save $50,000 a year over the large percentage that end up in prison because they don't finish school. Okay? And then we spend money on rehabilitation. We are placing the simpler investment. We are saving ourselves money and giving people a nest egg to start with. What would you have if when you finished high school, because your parents told you you got to finish school, you got to work hard, and you had $10,000 at the end of high school to do something with? Maybe you have a project you're working on, and you could buy the equipment to build it. Think about it. $10,000 for every student finishing high school, or $1,000 a year for the years they finish. They don't get it till they finish that year. Okay? We still have that money to use, borrow from ourselves before we give it to them. That's called incentives. Humans love incentives. That's Alan Epstein's grand simple plan for keeping everybody in school because they know they're going to have money when they finish to do something with. So we can go over all these things. Literacy rates in the world are easily around 11% in general, 20% in some countries. But you know what? Those countries are getting closer every year. Travel is easier. I'm trying to tell everybody. Tell your friends. Tell them to listen to this podcast if they've listened to none other. And believe me, I mean every child, man, woman, if it's a chimpanzee that can go to school and pass the test, I'll pay the chimpanzee to go to school. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with people who don't want to work and be a part of a system where they have freedom. I'm about to leave and cut off. I'm almost done. I have about a half a minute left, so again, check me out on Instagram, AE, equal, the word equals MC squared, Facebook, AE, the equal sign MC, little caret and a two. Gmail me at AE, the word equals MC squared, at gmail.com. And again, Culture Radio, look it up. I now find out that, as I said, people needed content. So you find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or you may find my name on in your local bathroom on the wall. I don't care. Listen, send me